Welcome to Hard Reboot, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And this month we are stumbling into Catholic Bible fan fiction with Dante's Divine Comedy.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
I am so excited.
I was telling you two earlier, but I'll just say it again for posterity's sake. I only know the cultural osmosis version of Dante's Inferno. Not necessarily the whole comedy, because no one knows a damn thing about the second two.
That's true.
They didn't make video games based on those two.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that travesty.
And I took an advanced literature class in college where we studied the Divine Comedy, and it was just absolutely fascinating. So I'm very excited to kind of geek out about it a little bit.
It is important, and there are a lot of places that will reinforce that this is like a foundational work in the Western literary canon. And sure, it's beautiful and well written, but it's Catholic Bible fanfic.
It's Catholic Bible fanfiction. Yeah. Specifically in the class that I was working on, we looked at it as kind of a centerpiece for traditional heroic stories. And how you could even trace back heroic stories all the way back to Dante. This was written, I guess, getting kind of into research. This was written between 1308 and 1320 CE.
Okay.
In Italy. And it's like the foundational piece of Italian literature. Like it was the thing that made the Tuscan language or the Tuscan derivative of Italian become just all Italian.
Yeah.
There was different Italians before then?
Every yep, regional little dialects. City had a yeah, every city had a flavor.
Oh, dip. So I don't know anything about this, but it sounds like this is like the journey to the West for Italy. Like it is like
kind of
one of their big deals. So, sorry.
And when you start getting into some of the more supernatural in heavy air quotes, like thought behind it, when people start revering it almost as a holy text, which, you know, there's lots to be said about that we're probably not.
Yeah, probably.
He actually died in 1321. So he lived long enough to finish the Divine Comedy and then almost immediately died.
Well, he shouldn't have finished that. It seems like that was the only thing keeping him here.
I mean, literal death of the author, which is, you know, a gift and a curse, I imagine.
I hope he made it all the way through it. I don't know, because the whole book's about him walking through hell and then through purgatory and then through heaven, right? Isn't that the whole deal? It's like self-insert Bible fan fiction.
To be technical, it is down, up, up.
It gets weird.
It gets weird in Paradiso. Geography, but you know, this is not the podcast for that. Or maybe it'll end up being that way. We'll see.
I mean, that, or you could just see if Chris Sims will do it on.
Yeah, let me text Chris. Tell him to do this on Apocryph Pals. It would be like a 12-part series.
Patreon Apocryph Pals.
That's a very good show. High tide recommendation. Go listen to Apocryph Pals. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. So I told y'all last time we're going to do this in an animated movie.
Yes.
Pixar style. We're keeping that because I think it works.
Okay.
I was also a little bit dared on our Discord, which is open to everybody. We'll talk about that again. But if you're a patron, you get a little bit of a bump into some different special categories.
You get a couple extra keys. You get to go to the different circles of Discord.
Oh, God, that is too good of an analogy.
No, we're not selling penance, are we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we are.
We are selling, not penance. What were they called? Indulgences.
Indulgences. Yeah. Thank you. It wasn't a penance. Thank you. No.
Yeah.
You pay us and we'll move you to a higher level of Discord hell.
It's the lowest stakes indulgences.
So, that is Matt, so true. What are we going to be working with?
All right, so I was dared to come up with something wilder or dumber or more like a horse in a spacesuit helmet than an interpretive, like a high school interpretive dance of Divine Comedy.
And it seems like an undoable task.
It does. And here's the
at
problem.
At least on a podcast, like, it'd be very difficult to describe the dance.
Yeah.
And I don't sing, so.
Here's the problem. Interpretive dance is just, like, the pinnacle of Buck Wild in so many ways. I mean, Brian David Gilbert used it to describe all the legendary and mythical Pokemon.
We've all seen the new PokéRap.
Well, and if you haven't, you should.
Yes, you should. But, like, that's the cool thing to me about interpretive dance is that's the whole point. That first word is very key.
Yeah.
Interpretive.
Whatever you do, you can sell, so.
Right, and you may watch it and take away something completely different than what your neighbor took away, and neither of you are wrong. But please go ahead, Matt.
So, as much as I had a whole lot of real big talk about being able to beat that, one, I do strive for us to have fun and make good stuff on the show.
I would like to do a good podcast if we could.
So I'm not going to try to rise to that occasion. If we get there, great. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one of, for sure, my favorite things and a little bit of all three of our favorite things. We're going to do a far future coming of age story.
Hold on.
Yes.
A far future.
Yes.
Coming of age story.
Yes.
Through hell.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that actually leads to my question number one. Is this the Divine Comedy or is this Inferno?
We're going to look at Inferno specifically because it has all the cultural cachet behind it.
Okay.
Almost everyone has some concept of what Inferno is. The rest of it
and for
is
those,
weird.
And for those that may not be familiar, the Divine Comedy is three parts: Inferno, Paradiso, or
Purgatorio.
Inferno, Purgatorio, Paradiso. So moving through hell into purgatory and then up through heaven, following literally a self-insert character, Dante, following Dante as he's being guided by Virgil and then later Beatrice or Beatrice, who turns out to be an angel of love or a very specific deification of love. But yeah.
I doubt it's a deification, seeing as this is a Bible where there's only really the one God.
True.
Like, explicitly.
I guess celestial ideal of love?
I mean, personification might be the word.
Personification, I think it might be the word.
Yes. But she's not explicitly an angel, but that's later.
This sounds a lot like, to me, like this is the Pitch Perfect trilogy of its time, whereas the first one was very good and everyone liked it, and then the second one was also very good, but not as many people liked it, and the third one is kind of dog shit.
You're not wrong.
Hey, you heard it here first. Dante's Inferno, just like Pitch Perfect.
Well, but I mean, it is you.
Pitch Perfect,
I'm not surprised.
Is the Divine Comedy of its time.
I also don't think you're wrong.
Put that on the back of the DVD.
But, you know, that also does mean, in some ways, this is pretty well suited to be a coming-of-age story if it's the Pitch Perfect. So,
yeah, very true.
All right. So, I guess more what I mean by far future is kind of space opera-y feel to it. Like,
okay. So maybe it's space. Planet hell?
Maybe, or like just weird space hell. My first thought was like some sort of animated Xenon girl of the 20-whatever century that Disney did, but...
Third?
I think it was the 21st century. It might have been 23rd. I know it wasn't the 22nd, because that was Sherlock Holmes.
Because that's Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century.
This is why I don't sing. Okay, so where do we start? What do we do?
So
my first question.
Yeah.
Well, we got some research, right, Alan? You actually, like, did actual real research for the first time in a minute.
Well, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't say that I'm a huge fan of the Divine Comedy, but I'm very fascinated by the Divine Comedy.
Sure.
So, obviously written by Dante Alighieri.
I've always heard Italian.
But essentially, it is Dante being led by Virgil, who is a ghost, through the gates of hell, abandon all hope, ye who enter here, descending down into the nine circles of hell, which are separate from any, well, there are, what, five of the deadly sins, four represented, but down through the nine circles, till they eventually come face to face with Satan. They climb Satan to enter purgatory, which is the end and going into Purgatorio, but part of it is Dante is seeking Beatrice or Beatrice. I don't know how to pronounce it. I just read it. But yeah, so my question is, why is this character going to hell?
So again, this is going to be like a coming of age story. And like you said, Alan, the whole thing is a heroic journey, like pretty archetypal. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the with the exception of the resurrection story of Christ. This is one of the first big like check boxes on what's called the monomyth. And it's kind of the idea that humans like a very specific kind of heroic story that can be broken down into certain parts and pieces. For more information, I highly recommend Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. It's one of the foundational works that actually Star Wars was made off of.
Or if you want a more digestible version of that, look for the one Christopher Vogler did.
Right. But
Christopher Vogler did a Star Wars?
He basically rewrote the Hero of a Thousand Myths. Or a Thousand
if you want
Faces.
A better Star Wars, go watch Hidden Fortress. Got him.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie. The Star Wars copied almost beat for beat.
Oh, that's true. And what was the Akira Toriyama?
Were you about to say
Samurai?
Akira Toriyama?
Akira Toriyama.
Maybe. But Seven Samurai.
That class, that's this. Kurosawa also made Hidden Fortress.
It's, yeah. Yeah. A lot of those themes translate.
Yeah, yeah. Lucas was a big fan and hit his influences moderately
poorly.
Well, I would say. Behind a laser sword. God, anyway, I'll stop jumping on Star Wars.
I would kill for a Star Wars Rashomon, though.
Oh, that would be dope as hell.
Right? Anyway.
Why wasn't Solo just Star Wars Rashomon?
Fuck! That would be so...
All the pieces are there.
I'm so mad about it. Okay. God, that would have been better. Okay. So, we're doing this heroic archetype. We have basically all the roadmap laid out for us then, because it's just going to be the hero's journey.
Right. It's a big circle.
It is a big circle. We're not going to get as weird as... an Unraveled that Jake hasn't seen that I'm going to have to skirt around because it
is
a lot of
that
good
for
jokes.
Another, like 6 years or so.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
You got to get through everything up to just before Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. Chance said once we finish, once we hit a certain plot point in 3D, then I can finally watch it. So as soon as we're done, I'm going to race to fucking YouTube.
It will break you. It is, I think, his best one. You're denied glory.
Such is my burden. This is my cross to bear. This is my inferno to bear.
Yes.
So, yes, circular heroic story.
So, we're going to have our protagonist. The easy answer is they're trying to find something, right?
Usually or someone.
Person, yeah, probably like a person, maybe even like go... kind of hard into the space opera thing and have like their family or loved one or whatever is off seeking some legendary super thing.
Well, that's kind of why I'm thinking more it's planet hell. Or maybe even the Hell Nebula or something, like something that we could do many layers until they get to like the final piece of it, the main core planet, Satan, or Lucifer.
Maybe we think of better names.
Those were both very good, though.
Literally off the top of my head. But anyways.
One of them was a character in Wreck-It Ralph.
Thanks, Satan.
It's Satine. I like Hell Nebula.
Yeah, that could be
or
good.
Or the Hades Nebula.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Can we?
So, Matt, I got a couple. I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs to be the Inferno Nebula, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Because the Inferno is like, I mean, the Inferno, whole thing. So if the whole if they're doing a whole nebula, then I think the
Inferno is literally Italian for hell.
Yeah, yeah. So boom, got him. So in Italy, it would be called the Hades Nebula.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Okay. So Matt, I have a couple questions.
Yes.
Our protagonist is Dante, I'm assuming.
Some variant, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What age is our main character? If it's coming of age, it kind of puts you in one of like two or three kind of age brackets. I'm just kind of wondering what your initial thoughts are.
I'm looking at a little bit higher end of the coming of age story. So not necessarily like the preteen into teen, and not really even like the teen in high school trying to find themselves. I'm looking more like teen stepping in from high school into college. So that last kind of transition like, into adulthood.
Right. That like, baby bird falling out of the nest for the first time kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And so what I'm thinking for like the setup here is somewhere in the Inferno Nebula is some MacGuffin thing. Ship, item, lost planet, whatever.
Okay. We got to be careful not to tread in the Cinderellian ground.
So, not ship. Yes.
Yeah.
And we also don't want to do a ring world because that would be a bit vicey. So, let's say a planet. There's a planet somewhere deep in the Inferno Nebula. Rumored.
Like I said, and we can call it Lucif or...
Well, actually, Alan, what I was thinking was...
Ooh, Morningstar.
Morningstar would be very good. I was thinking that it was just... People just called it Paradise.
Okay.
So here's my second question, okay. Then. Or I guess my third question? I've forgotten how many questions I've asked in the last 2 minutes. My new question...
There's a lot.
Because this is the year of our Lord, 2019. Everything's a trilogy, right? And we kind of have a built-in, ABC trilogy, right? We got Inferno, Purgatorio, Paradiso.
Yes.
Is that the Alan's raising his hand. Hold on one second. Is that the path that we're... So, movie one is Inferno. Movie two is Purgatorio. Movie three is Paradiso.
Yeah, I would say yes, and I kind of wanted to if we get to the other two, great. If not, we can spitball at the end.
I have an idea for the second one.
Okay,
but we'll get there if we have the time. Alan, you look like you're about to catch on fire. Please go.
Yes.
Okay. So yes, the planet in the middle, Paradise. But maybe what you're looking for there is the portal to Paradise. A way to access Paradise, but where the portal actually leads is Purgatory, and if you make it through Purgatory, you can ascend to Paradise. So that's where you get the part one, part two, part three.
I like that. Here's what I
was thinking, and I think it is a less metaphysical, more actual physical version of that, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves because we still don't know what the fuck this one's about, but when I think of Purgatory and the way that Alan explained it is like it is a mountain that you have to climb up, and like each layer is a different sin, blah 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 blah. My first thought of how to make that its own thing is a prison.
Ooh,
right.
So that makes a lot of sense. You go through the Inferno Nebula because you're trying to get to Paradise, and and at the end of the Inferno, due to whatever events have elapsed, Dante is thrown into Purgatorio, which is like a prison planet.
Okay, so what if we do kind of one of those really a little bit cliched sci-fi things where it's like, there's a rumored amazing planet, and you get there and it's like, no, this is a death world kind of deal. Except now it's like this super secret prison planet.
What if we kind of combine them? So maybe on Planet Morningstar or, you know, Planet Paradise or whatever we decide to call it, what you find is a wormhole that is supposed to lead you to paradise, but where it actually takes you is the prison of purgatory, which is run by our angel surrogates. And in order to escape purgatory, you have to prove to the angels that you're worthy of paradise because they're the ones that let you in.
I like the idea of angels being cops. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Because
like,
they are.
Or, you know, international peacekeepers or whatever the fuck they want. They're just called angels. But, like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Intergalactic peacekeepers. The only problem with the Purgatorio movie ending with you being like, hey, have I convinced you, is that's boring.
I think
there's no action there. Because, being good is kind of inherently about inaction in the world of – within the boundaries of this. It is – being good is not giving into these things or not doing these things. So it's sort of anathema to a movie.
So a way we could kind of adapt both the overall, idea of that movie plus Alan's suggestion is instead it's almost like – We're gonna have to have a dirty cop. We're gonna have to have an angel who's actually not who's kind of on the side of Dante.
The dirty cop being a good person in this case.
In the vernacular, yeah, that would because you know cops, man. So to kind of adapt that, Alan, what if it's Dante having to do an escape, but all of the sins are things that are like thrown in his path.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, so he's not proving to anyone.
But that's kind of also the point is what if it's like that's the setup, but at the end they were like, oh, cool, all of that was you, because the other idea of purgatory is eternally pushing a stone up the hill, and if you get the stone to the top of the hill, you win and you go to heaven.
Yeah. So and we've got a whole movie series about that in the works. Right. So
but like basically, at the end, Dante's gone through all of these trials and conquered the sins, and the angels are go, okay, there you go. You've proven yourself to us. Let us escort you to paradise.
I don't actually hate that. If there's a thing where like he gets to the end and the angels are like, well, no one else has done it, so like, yeah, go ahead. But then like I think we're getting way far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
yes, a little bit. We are.
Because now we've talked more about movie two than movie one, but then we'll need to figure out like how to make Paradiso. It's a movie because you start out going there, but let's backtrack to Inferno.
Yeah, let's.
I have a couple ideas for the beginning of Inferno.
Okay,
I don't need to know an idea real quick. I just need to know why Dante is going through Inferno.
So my first thought was a sibling. Like older sibling was hunting for paradise, and this is the last location he transmitted,
and got to Morningstar.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my first thought. Like, I didn't necessarily want to do like the lost lover thing because that might shut us off from giving Dante a romance along the way. But
right,
could it be a sister, and that's the Batrice surrogate?
I don't know a fucking thing about Batrice, so I don't...
I'm fine with that, because we can just translate that into not romantic love. Yeah.
And, like, the sibling is using her old logs. So that's how, like, she appears, is old logs describing, you know, what they may be up to.
But Beatrice isn't in Inferno.
No, but we can add it. That's fine.
I mean,
She's mentioned in Inferno.
I think that as a podcast, we rely too heavily on the "they found a log from a person" trope a lot, and I don't want to run that well dry.
I, I would be fine not even having her show up outside of like a couple flashbacks in Inferno.
Yeah, okay. that's what I would like. Because like if the impetus is like my sister Beatrice has gone to find something, and her last transmission was from Morningstar, and it sounded distressful, and then maybe there's some sort of like ping back that like I know the last. Like, this is the route she took through the Inferno Nebula, is, like, these nine planets before she got there, because you can't just go right to Morningstar, or else that would be way too easy. So, like, then we have a path that we have to follow to get to a thing.
I think a good way to do that, and something that would let us incorporate the Virgil character,
mm-hmm.
is if we find, like, some debris at the beginning of the nebula.
And a dead baby planet.
Sure. Well, and we find a little robot buddy. Let's make Virgil a robot buddy.
This actually plays into a couple of ideas I had for the like introduction into Hell and Circle One. So one of the most iconic things that I don't think we can get around including is abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Like the gates of hell, the gates of Inferno. What if that's a distress signal? And that's how our character knows that they're getting close, is abandon all hope, ye who enter here, starts coming in on a loop. And like it's a beacon that's placed before the Inferno Nebula.
So here's another. I do like that. I do like the close frequency crybaby of the start of this is just abandon all hope, ye who enter. It's a number station. It's like a space number station, but it's saying like the creepiest thing.
Yeah, just go away, go away, go away.
So and here for those that go ahead, Jake. Sorry.
Well, you go first, because mine is kind of will probably end up spiraling us a little bit. So you go first.
Okay. So Circle One, I don't think is a planet. If you ignore the warning, you are in limbo. So if you keep going, an electrical field, something shuts your ship down. And so limbo, Circle One, is stranded ships that have created like a community of like the good intentioned, like the good pagans, that were trying to go to paradise but didn't listen. But that's how we introduce Virgil. Is Virgil, the little robot buddy, says, "Oh, I can restart your ship. We can keep going."
Okay.
Like Virgil as an AI can work around that electrical weirdness and allow our character to proceed.
Maybe it's not I can like restart your ship or undo the magnetic field or laws that we have established for this weird area. I do like Limbo not being a planet, it being a dead zone that like once you go in, like you just got nothing. But maybe Virgil's like, "Hey, a little while ago I sent someone this way, like someone asked this thing, and because of what they knew and what I knew, they were able to get out. So let me help you get out. Here's the trick. I want to get the fuck out of limbo."
Mm-hmm.
So I get to go with you. And like, that's where it starts.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Because also if Virgil's a robot in a like magnetic shutdown area, how is Virgil on? If all your ships shut down, how is Virgil?
About that?
I mean, we could make him like a weird little robot.
Well, what if he runs on Seraph tech? So he's actually a robot that was created by the angels.
Is Virgil an angel?
No.
No, but it's implied that he is some sort of
sanctified
godly being.
Spirit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that then. If he's just running on a different OS that he like, you know, with a better shield than everybody else. Okay, so here's my question, because nine places is a like, it's not a lot, like it's not like a lot to do in one movie, but to keep the momentum, we essentially need to make nine short movies into a movie, right? So first one is Limbo. Well, then I guess it's 10, because then you would have the framing device of I need to go do this thing, right?
Well, and that becomes the question of how much of these do we want to combine, or are there any that we specifically don't use?
I mean, there's 9 circles, right? So we gotta do, so we gotta do them all.
It's Limbo, Lust, Gluttony, Greed, Wrath, Heresy, Violence, Fraud, and Treachery. Fraud and treachery can kind of be combined.
Yeah.
It's just treachery is worse fraud. Wrath and violence can kind of be combined.
We need to be able to, so my thing is that, and I feel like I'm like planting a flag in this dumb rule, is that if we are doing Inferno, each of these places has to be distinct. Okay. Right? They can be on the same planet. Like, maybe these two are like, fraud and treachery are two places on the same planet. And, like, the idea of, like, whoever does the fraud is what gets you to the treachery. You know, like, that makes a lot of sense.
And at the center of treachery, that's where Satan is. Yeah. So Satan is the center of treachery. And then right outside of Satan, you have Judas.
So, but then that would be morning. So treachery would be Morningstar, because that's right. The final one. Well, so that needs to be its own.
Well, and even then, like treachery, then you could even go kind of high concept with that. In that treachery is Morningstar is not this promised paradise. Oops, we tricked you. It's a path to someplace worse.
Yeah, it is a go to jail free card.
Yeah,
and also we could set up Morningstar to be a warm or bright planet. You know, Lucifer is the brightest of the angels, but have it because in Inferno it is the coldest place. Like ice grows all around treachery, and Lucifer is stuck in
trapped in the ice
in ice. Yeah.
Which listen. I understand why people have gone to fire as the flavor text for hell, but man, ice is so much better.
It makes a lot more sense that it would be ice because like the deeper you go, the colder you get until you get to the center of the earth, which is lava,
where it ignites again. Yeah,
but like still, like you know, if you go if you're in a cave, the farther down you go, it does not get warmer. You know, so.
So I had a thought about Lust, and I think we can put it in the same place as Limbo, in like that kind of like floating derelict community kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and just make it like every temptation to just stay there, right?
I feel like that should be a separate place. I feel like that should be like the first planet. Like, hey, you got out of that garbage shit place, and now you're look at how cool everything is here,
and actually make it a nice place. Forever? Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
and like so it's not lust in the like
sexual sense.
There's a lot of horny people around. Yeah, it's sure. Lust in the like this is kind of a paradise. Like, you know, it's not like
it's not wonderful. Perfect.
It's not perfect, but like and your sister's not here, but like you probably wouldn't want for anything if you just stay here and don't go on the rest of this journey.
So almost kind of like the Lotus Eaters in Greek myth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that seems good for Lust, just something to kind of lure Dante off the path.
My first thought was like wherever he lands, just like a lot of pillows and a lot of people being like, hey, this is cool, isn't it? Like, just chill out here forever.
So on that same planet is Gluttony, the people that fell for it and that have indulged in these vices overly.
Okay, so maybe that needs to be like a separate part of the community so that we can have some separation.
Well, it's
in there.
The hidden part of the community. So, like, that's what Dante's like. Oh, Dante's like, oh, this is all cool. This is cool. And then discovers the gluttony and goes, oh, that's what you want. You want me to become that.
I don't think we know enough about Dante just yet. I don't think we've talked about him at all or them or whatever yet to like kind of figure it out. But I like the idea of there being like the distinct new set piece of gluttony, right? Like, so it looks different because that satisfies my, these have to be different places.
To me, in my head, if it's on the same planet as Lust, gluttony's like an opioid den.
I was thinking a little bit different, actually, Alan. So what I was thinking was when he gets to the planet, after he gets out of Limbo, he gets to this place, planet, station, whatever. he goes in, and the first kind of area of it is almost like just like pastoral subsistence farming. Like they all have what they need. Like it's not perfect, but it's fine.
It's it's suitable.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, you hear whispers and it's like, oh, well, there's this like city, but we don't go there because people who have gone there don't come back. And that seems bad. And so it turns into like the opulence kind of place where it's not what you see out the windows is a destroyed part of this nice planet. Like they have strip mined it for resources, but they're living in golden palaces.
That should be greed.
No, because greed is wanting more. Gluttony is consuming more.
True. But the other thing is, how can we make the first community more lustful? Because surviving and sustaining doesn't feel enough desire. There has to be desire for it to be lust.
Do we give it kind of just like an edge of like, we're going to take this anyways kind of deal?
Like, or maybe it's things that you can't get anywhere else. Like they've discovered new techniques or of farming, or they've discovered, you know, new drugs or something, that there is a desire and a want there.
My initial like thought for this is just make it hornier, right? Just make it like a commune, but like just like this pleasure palace, right? But it's like, it's not like
it's all got to be kind of fake, right?
Yeah, it has to be like completely like we need you to stay here, right? To be like us, because then, you know,
we're less alone. If someone leaves, the illusion shatters.
Exactly. And then, like, you leave from there, and the only place you can go is this city where they have absolutely consumed the other half of the planet. Like, the other half is, like, from space, you can see the strip mining, right?
Right.
So, like, that's what I'm thinking for that. Because if each of these are, you know, a planet or two each, or, you know, two to a planet at most, then I really like the idea of needing to do something to like launch yourself to the next planet, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't just fly your ship. Like, why wouldn't you just get back on your ship and fly over all these planets and just go right to Morningstar? It's like you have to
presumably the ship crashes, right?
I think it needs to crash on Lust, like, and then wake up in this like
right
pleasure palace. So surrounded by like a lot of pillows, and like everything's really warm and like pinks and oranges, like reds and oranges, and like, you know.
Well, and that was my thought with greed, is it's a tractor beam.
Oh, I mean,
they're flying past greed and they are caught and brought to them, and we're like, we want what you have.
I think we can still do that. Let's still do that. Because what I was thinking for greed was someone takes everything from Dante, including Virgil.
Right.
Like, someone steals everything, which also then lets us go to Wrath, where another person, like, I think these could be people, where another person's just like, you want to get it back?
Want to get it back? That opens up a really good question, is do we want each of these things to be places, or do we want to make them, like,
ideas?
Antagonists.
I mean, I think in some ways...
Maybe a combo of both?
I think both.
Okay.
I think it would be really... Unless we wanted to go very, very literal with greed and have it just basically be like another place that's just full of scum and villainy.
Right.
I like the idea. Ooh, what if the person that's helping you, like, to commit wrath or whatever, is an android, R4TH.
Okay.
And, like, it's inciting an uprising of the robots in greed.
Here's where I, not having read the
The source material.
The source material is kind of holding me back a little bit, because I want it, like, when I think about the idea of, like, we need to turn nine circles of hell into nine places until you get to the middle, right? And, or until you get to Morningstar, is Dante, like, why is Dante going through hell?
He's being
Is he a bad guy?
No.
Like, in the book, did he die and is bad, so goes to hell?
He wakes up in a dark wood, midway in the journey of life, and is forced to walk.
So he's like 30, and he's like, I gotta go to hell now.
It's kind of just choose. A spirit journey. It's a spirit vision.
So he just wakes up in the middle of a dark wood, and Virgil's like, hey, yo, man, there's only one way out. And it's this way. Through gates that say, abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Then we're starting in a different place. But so when he gets to each of these places, like, is his goal to just get through it? His goal to, like, not fall into the temptations? Because if someone Both. Is wrath, then wouldn't you go, if your intent is to get through wrath to get to the next place, wouldn't you not want to, like, I don't think that the wrath character would be inciting him to wrath. It would be fighting him.
Or just obstructing him.
This is a series of lose-lose situations where especially for wrath, like, if you fall into wrath and fight wrath, you've lost. If you don't fight wrath, wrath will kill you and you've lost.
So we
need to think of, like, the ways around that.
The way wrath is represented in Inferno is...
Yeah, because wrath is not violence. There's a whole different circle for violence.
There's a whole different circle for violence. Wrath,
what the fuck is wrath?
Wrath is the waters of the river Styx.
Unholy anger.
So they're in a boat, and the wrathful are fighting in the water and slime that is the river Styx, trying to pull their boat down. The other thing is they are trying to fight to stay at the top, because those that don't fall into, and I quote, into a black sulkenness which can find no joy in God or man or the universe.
Okay. So violence has just got to be, like, a war-torn place, like active war going on there.
Yes.
And wrath is less active violence and more, like, consuming anger.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the trick to getting through the wrath area is, especially if Virgil's missing, because if you need to get Virgil back, then you need to go whichever way Virgil has been taken, right? Like, you can't just, like, that's how you get from, you know, from greed to wrath, is right. You have to go there because that's where Virgil went.
So the other quote that I think is going to help us: the active hatreds rend and snarl at one another. At the bottom, the sullen hatreds like gurgling, unable even to express themselves for the rage that chokes them. So wrath is anger.
Right. So then,
and
how
hatred.
I guess I'm getting caught up on this. Like, how is this a person, and what, like, what can they do?
Well, it might not be then. Maybe this is just a...
Maybe it's a virus.
Okay, hold on. Explain yourself.
Maybe it's an... Because my original idea was, like, wrath was trying to incite the robots of greed to, like, fight back. Maybe wrath is, like, a sentient virus that stirs up these feelings in the AI or in the robots of, like, them resenting their servitude and coming to hate their masters.
I feel like that's a whole movie. I feel like that's a whole trilogy of movies called The Matrix. So I don't know how we would be able to be like, here's this huge idea, and in order to solve it, we literally have to walk away from it. Because at the end of the day, he can't fix any of the problems, right?
Right, he can't.
Because he has to, and I think that's, like, part of the journey is, like, understanding that, like, you can try your best, but it is not your responsibility to solve the world's problems.
And that's honestly, that's kind of the horror of the Divine Comedy and of the Inferno, is the fact that these things are happening and Dante has to watch helplessly.
It's really a bleak kind of nihilistic view of the human spirit at first. It's real weird.
But we're going to make it animated so we can have people with goofy faces.
Goofy faces.
It makes everything better. Okay. What if what we do is we have greed as some sort of like...
Is a place greed right after gluttony?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're not skipping three places.
Yes, I have all the circles written down in order.
Okay, good.
So we have greed, and we can make that like just a real shit heap of a place, right? Like... glitz and glamour, but also like he does get literally everything stolen from him.
I think I kind of want it to be like what the fuck is the big Muppet's name from the Lantern Corps? Who's the Orange Lantern, Alan?
Larfleeze.
You know how like when they go there at first, it's just like the biggest, like his planet is just the biggest trash dump in the world, because like I just want this stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that's maybe the tractor beam drags him to there, and it's just like there's just ships and things and like upside down houses and just stolen shit forever. And it's like, I don't do anything with it. I just don't want anyone else to have it.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe greed is the tractor beam, and that there is no person.
Right.
I dig that. That works. That works really
it's
well.
Just
with
a
what I was
planet-sized tractor beam. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's what I was. That works so well with what I was thinking for Wrath. So it's all that anger, right? It's all that anger bubbling. So what if what it is Dante gets there? He does have to get everything stolen from him and chase that down, because everyone on the planet is following greed, right? Take what you want. It becomes
right,
yours.
Right, because that's how everything got here. So, yeah. Like, why not? That's the law of the land, yeah.
So, eventually, though, what he finds is, like, underneath that level of just, like, I'm a knife you and take everything, is all these people who have just, like, kind of just, like, well, fuck it. If I can't have stuff, I'm going to go wallow. And let's maybe not aim it at drug culture, because I don't know that any of us are...
right.
Proficient to discuss that.
No.
But there's a pretty good metaphor for corporate greed in there and what it does to its employees.
Boy, I am.
Yeah, what it does to the employees and the resentment and hatred that bubbles.
Yeah, I think we are all, in some way or another, extraordinarily familiar with that.
Capitalism. So that can be our wrath. It's just like the victims, basically.
Right.
Because at no point do we need to be condemning. On this, like some stuff,
right.
Sure, but
I think the two big takeaways that like for us and Dante has got to be for Dante, it's sometimes you are too small to fix the problem, but that doesn't mean you have to succumb to it, right?
Yeah.
And then for like the audience, I think a lot of it should be, I don't want to say tolerance, you know, but I think it should be something to where like a lot of times people are the way they are because they are victims of circumstance, and that is these are nine cases of victims of circumstance. Yeah,
right.
But also like larger messages of like, hey, you should maybe speak some truth to power from time to time.
Yeah, and you can choose not to be angry about something.
Yeah,
like, you know, and you can. You can leave a bad situation and
right.
Things like that. Yeah.
Dear God, leave a bad situation, friends. Like,
yeah.
You out there listening, get out of there.
Sometimes it's hard, but it's always worth it.
It is. Okay, so that gets us through Wrath, and then we get to
heresy.
The weird ones. Fuck.
Okay, so.
What are we going to do for heresy?
So Wrath is. And again, I want like distinct lines of separation. So like the tractor beam, the whole like tractor beam sequence, like that is the greed part, right? Once
yeah.
You get onto the planet with all the bunch of stuff, that is
the wrath sequence.
There's wrath because like whoever was there first has the most stuff, and then it literally like pyramid schemes down from there, right? And so like
yeah.
Everyone eventually is just mad that, like, the way that things are is you have to just take forever. Like no one has ever come up with the idea of, like, giving,
yeah,
you know, because, like, it's just systematic, right? So however he gets off of Wrath, I feel like there's got to be some sort of, like, your stuff is destroyed, but once you get Virgil back, once you, like, find Virgil, then there is a, like, a different ship that has just not been touched for whatever reason, and you just, like, he gets on that, and it's pointed directly at Heresy.
And that makes sense, because within Wrath, an angel comes down to allow the poets to move forward. So that could even be more angelic tech, like,
right, there
Virgil was able to find some more Seraph tech, and
right, because he's, like, you know, aligned with it, right? He's got Bluetooth with all the other Seraph tech, basically.
Okay, I have an idea now for Heresy.
I have a color scheme for Heresy.
Okay, tell me your color scheme.
Gold.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. Yeah, it's all okay. Gilded. Lots of what, gilt.
What is something that I think universally no one in their right minds would give worship to?
I mean, I'm about to say the dollar bill, but what is yours? Because it means nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
There has got to be. Okay, so it's going to be very stylistically a gigantic church in space. Like, I'm talking, like, massive, like that big ship from Jupiter Ascending.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. It is on HBO Go, and I feel like I should watch it soon. But mega church. Matt, you and I are both in Texas, the land of the mega church.
Yeah, it's like 10 of those shoved together, gothic design, in space, all gold. And, like, spotlights for miles, right?
Right. And there's TVs everywhere, you know, that all are coming from the pulpit.
Yeah. Preaching the glory of this one magnificent gift from the Seraphs. It is their gift to us. It is this beautiful white thing. It's, like, intricately designed and everything. And the instant Virgil looks at it, he just goes, "That's a shitter.
That is a toilet.
That's a toilet."
Animorph style.
Yeah. Like, literally that. Like, this entire religion, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to at all mock someone's faith, right?
Right.
No, but I think and if y'all want to dip out of this this specific gripe, is that the evangelicals are maybe doing Satan's work if we're following their Bible, you know? Evangelical people are like the big one, the people who run the mega churches, like, they are, like, the greediest. They are always
preaching
hate.
They don't help the poor.
They don't help the poor. It's all veneer and no substance.
Yeah.
And I think if we lean into that, the only people who are going to get mad at us are people who run mega churches. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's
true.
You're fine. So we kind of make the joke, but really it's more like someone slapped a lot of gold around a toilet, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's like that is a literal septic tank.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing else.
There's no power to be gained from this thing.
I mean,
that
the idea that angels shit now is in the world, but, you know, septic tank is it's a waste tank. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, a toilet, but yeah. But the same idea, yeah.
Concept, yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I do too. And, like, part of it is when he gets pulled in there, like, that's part of it, is he's brought in, he doesn't land there, maybe another crash, maybe another pull, but it's so that they can basically talk to them about their Lord and Savior septic tank.
Yeah.
and it needs to have that same kind of feel where you step off and at first people are very like, "Oh, welcome. Hi. Do you want to come?
Y'all want some sweet tea?
Yeah.
You want a pamphlet?
Here, we got this literature for you to read." And eventually they go see the holy septic tank. And Virgil just loses his goddamn mind because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then it turns into like a, "You need to get out of our church here, don't you?"
Yeah.
Well, in an escape.
Yeah, and then the escape is there. And so here's another thing that I think we should try to do, because I'm now realizing that we are
55 minutes in.
Yeah. 55 minutes in.
And we have three circles left.
And we have three circles left. I mean, technically, we have like two circles left. Because
true, we already know what treachery is.
Yeah. We'll need to talk about it a minute. But basically, I don't want the whole like moral of the story is like, you can't fix it, everything, right? But maybe the idea that like, if you do, it's like the speak truth to power. Like, if you point it out to some people, like you put the idea out in the world, then like that's how things can change, right? So maybe by saying like that is a toilet, like that will plant a seed around there, so they are chased out. But maybe some people are like, I can't believe we've been worshiping a toilet this whole time. Like, I'm mostly embarrassed.
Is this kind of that moment where Dante gets to speak a little truth to power? Because there hasn't been a good opportunity yet.
No, I feel like he should have been doing it already, but not like actively.
Or not seeing an effect.
Yeah, exactly. So like when you're in like the lust place, like you're in this like nice pleasure palace where it's like, hey, just like stay here and like do whatever. It's like, well, nothing will get done that way. And they'll be like, well, yeah, I guess. But like, why would that matter? And then like, because it's like the first circle, so it's not the worst one, right? So
yeah.
But then he leaves, and then, you know, I don't know if we'll necessarily ever touch base with those people again, but maybe the idea of like, I am hiding unfulfillment by filling these holes with things that, you know, are not with compressed air more than anything, you know?
Yeah.
But then by the time we do get here, it's him actively going like, that is a toilet. Like, this is like, you're not actually saying anything, especially not what you think you're saying.
Yeah. There's, I feel like there's a good moment where he can say that and then to like immediately lighten the mood a little bit, because this is an animated movie. The smash cut is him and Virgil running down a hall with lasers flying around them, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Which,
so here's my question about Heresy the Planet is, they get there on a Seraph Tech ship.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would be weird for them to get there on the ship and them to be like, we worship this giant ball, you know, that, yes, is a toilet. We don't know that. But like, yes, that's what it is. But then wouldn't they also be like, hey, that thing looks just like our giant ball that we worship. How do we work around that? Or is that the idea?
I think that's the idea, is that as they're flying away, maybe that's part of what helps that little seed that Dante plants sprout, is they go, wait. Or even Virgil is the same tech.
Yeah, like all of these things, like they'd probably welcome Virgil as like, oh, a prophet from the Seraphs or something.
Right. So maybe it's not necessarily a straight line through Heresy. Like, we go there and then we have to leave there, but it is they go there and like, we got to get back to that ship. You know, and I do kind of want them to steal the toilet, but that's just like, you know, like if the toilet is the missing piece of the spaceship and they need to get it.
Oh, it has like a power core in it that they
Instead of it being, okay, what if we just back this up and change it a little bit? What if instead of it being a septic system, it's a gas tank?
Okay. Yeah. Like, they need to refuel.
Like, that's just, exactly. It's just a gas tank. Like, that's, it does nothing by itself.
Except no, hold a dangerous thing that will smell bad.
Yeah, and will exactly. Kill you. Yeah, like it'll blow up at some point and kill everyone. Like, that's all it does. It doesn't, you know, because like there's also this whole like.
Well, and that also plays into Heresy, in that worshiping the wrong thing will kill you.
Right. Yeah. And you know, again, Matt, you and I live in Texas. We know what the oil companies do down here.
They sure do.
It's a rough time trying to get anything done without billions of dollars of oil money stopping it. So
at every turn.
Okay.
I love. Yes. Do we want this to be like something where when they take the fuel tank and they start running and we have that scene where speak truth to power, smash cut to a hall full of lasers. Do we want like the color palette to shift at that moment and this becomes violence then?
I have an idea for violence.
Okay.
Violence is next, right?
Yeah, and violence is complicated because violence is the only circle of hell that has rings within it. Yeah. So this could actually be ring one of violence, which is violence against neighbors. So the creation of war, plunderers, tyrants.
Like violence is act three, right? That's where like act three like definitively starts.
Right. Yeah.
So what if instead of this being like, you know, technically violence, because I think it's I don't think this is necessarily violence as much as, I mean, it could end up being there, but I think like, you know, the heresy, because technically Virgil and Dante are doing heresy against heresy, right? Because they're like, that's just a gas tank. And then like maybe they need to steal that to like click it back into their ship so they can get to the next place. But I feel like they should be like dropped off, right? Like, because it's Seraph Tech, so it can do whatever it wants. But maybe it's like, this is as far as I go. I have to go back to wherever. If you want to just, like, I will drop you off here, or you can come with me to, you know, words that don't, you know, that Virgil's can't quite understand, and that Dante just sounds like nothing, right? It sounds like bells or whatever to him.
Yeah.
So, like, that they drop him off on violence, and then just, like, flies away. And then when we get to the Paradiso movie, like, the ship is there, and he's like, oh, we could have just been on this the whole time, but we had to get off because this is where my sister went.
Yeah.
So, so then we get into violence, which is a, you know, I feel like it should be like a war planet, like just a planet at war.
Kind of. Ring two, and I'm going to throw up a content warning here. Ring two is the Wood of Suicide, because it represents violence against self. So the three rings are violence against neighbors, violence against self, violence against God, art, and nature, which is represented by the blasphemers, the sodomites, and the usurers. So there are layers of violence.
I think instead of doing any of that shit, it should just be a planet at war. I feel like that is too heady for an animated movie, no matter what the rating is.
Yeah, and I feel like getting that distinct with it.
I mean, I am not going to be sad to get rid of the Wood of Suicide, because to me, that is one of the most genuinely unsettling things I have ever experienced reading through it. So,
yeah, it's
I don't think any of that is in the spirit of what we're doing.
No, I kind of think just falling onto a planet of Mad Maxes is pretty good.
Yeah, it's just Mad Max in a bunch of cities. Like it's Epitaph One from Dollhouse. Like everyone's at war. Everyone's at war with everyone.
If we want to put in some suggestion that there's like the violence against God, art, and nature kind of stuff, we could make like them be using like converted or corrupted Seraph Tech in their weapons or vehicles.
Yeah, and like they maybe like one of the factions is like entirely about destroying everything, like especially art and nature and whatever, and they're using Seraph Tech to do it, so we can get all those, you know, hit all, you know, bingo on that set.
Yeah,
but like I think the other stuff, the violence against self, like this is not a kids movie, but it's an animated movie, so you're not gonna get away with as much as you would if it was like a live action movie.
Yeah. And I mean, we could do some implications towards violence against self in things like make one of the factions look like the Reavers from Firefly.
Yeah. You know, just like touch on something, but I don't necessarily need to. Yeah, I don't want to get into any of that.
We don't need to see. Right. No.
And then and the whole point of this is like, you need to get from A to B to get, you know,
and stay alive.
And stay alive during, like, this entire huge war, you know. And
because as it turns out, your landing zone is on this side of the planet, and your sister's beacon is on that side of the planet.
Yeah, like, her last transmission from this planet is on the other side. So, you know. Or maybe it's, like, it's closer than you think, but hey, guess what?
There's
a whole
war.
Planet's at war. Yeah.
That's very good. Alan, do you like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm very happy not to deal with that.
So
yeah, I don't know why we would.
Yeah. Okay. Last circle is fraud. And I don't know if this is a like, we'll have a different set dressing for it. But is this someone who's just like, oh, I know where your sister is?
So the thing about fraud in Inferno is it is designed like, you know those towered cities?
Yes.
It's that, but inverted into a cone.
Because it's so building down to treachery, right?
Right. It's building down to treachery. So you have like panderers and seducers, then flatterers, then simoniacs, then sorcerers, barriters, hypocrites, and thieves, and then counselors of fraud at the very bottom.
I'm going to level with you. Several of those words, I do not know what they mean. I will infer. I don't need definitions. I can get the gist.
I was about to say, simony is ecclesiastical favors and offices. But anyways, so it's this inverted, and I kind of like the idea that it does lead into treachery. It does, like, it is the funnel into Morningstar because fraud and treachery are kind of interlinked.
What? Well, because
you
Morningstar
can't be treacherous without fraud.
Morningstar is its own planet, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what if the beacon is... So maybe there's like 8 beacons, right? That like of where she like touched down and was like, this is just me leaving breadcrumbs in case something goes wrong, right?
Right.
So there's only 8 instead of 9. And the one that's missing would be fraud. So you get to the beacon at the end of violence. You get through, you know, planet war, and you find this place with, you know, that there's a beacon there. And it's basically like, I don't know where to go. There's no way that I can see to get from this planet to Morningstar. But when you get there, there's like a person who's like, hey, oh, like, are you looking for this girl who came through here? I helped her get to Morningstar. I can help you for either a nominal fee or just like, you know,
some price.
Whatever. For something that's I feel like it should seem too good to be true, but at the same time be true because he will help you get off of you know, off of violence and to Morningstar. The fraud part is that they're not telling you that Morningstar is Hell Planet. So like, it's not necessarily an entire thing you need to go through, but it is a person who goes like, oh, I'll get you the rest of the way to hell.
Yeah.
But like with a smile and not saying that, you know, like, oh, I helped her get to Morningstar. I can help you too.
Right.
And so that's why there's no 8th beacon, because it's just like, here, get in this rocket and I will shoot you right at Morningstar, and you land there and it is an ice planet and it just fucking sucks there.
I dig that.
I really like that. Yeah.
Because then we don't need to worry about, like, this whole conical thing. And maybe when you get to treachery, like, the you know, the opening place is, like, this big, like...
Funnel?
You know, funnel, yeah. That, like, gets you down there. Whatever.
We'll maybe maybe that's the path Dante has to follow. He's kind
okay,
of
he's like,
spiraling.
Let me program this thing into this. And it's just, like, this, like... You know, to like dodge the whatevers, you know, the asteroids and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to Morningstar and we're at the end of our movie. And so he's got to get to the last beacon. I feel like this is like a, you know, like a just a big final race against the clock kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so close. I just want to get there.
Is this also kind of... I guess this raises a question of what sort of movie we're making, because if this is kind of like an action-y kind of movie, would this also be where literally everything in the system is like screaming down after him?
I mean, I don't know if anybody's been able to follow him, because like in the Inferno, if you're there, you're there. Like, he's the only person, him and Virgil, the only two things that like go from one to the next, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily like a path to hell. It's like this is where you landed in hell. This is where you deserve to be in hell, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's sort of the conceit.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like an uncharted last big parkour section, you know? Like,
so here's kind of my question. How many of the specific kind of traitors, not the traitors themselves, but the kinds of traitors, because you have traitors to their kindred, traitors to their country, traitors to their guests, and then traitors to their lords, which is Cain, Antenora, Ptolemy, and Judah. So do we want those represented, or is it going to be more of what we did with violence in that it's the entire planet is traitorous? Like, it's actively working against you.
I feel like that one, because if not, this could be the second of four movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, that's a lot of ideas that you could do of, like, each person being a different obstacle, each, you know, each person being a different person that they need to, like, get past or whatever. But if it is, like, a – if it's an ice planet, like, that doesn't want life to be there, right? Like, it is trying to get rid of whatever's there. And so maybe when he lands, after, like, a quick jaunt to, you know, a structure that he finds, like, maybe he does find his sister. And, like, she's there, but she's like, hey – we were wrong. Like, this planet is not what we were thinking, but, like, there's also still, like, lore or whatever. This is, like, if you can get to this part of it, maybe that's how you get to paradise.
So that leads me to kind of my final question for Inferno.
Okay.
What are we going to do about Satan?
Okay, so I have an idea, and it might lend itself to kind of the overall idea of the planet being antithetical to life. We've had Seraph Tech throughout this whole thing. And I feel like now that we know that it's a thing, we can kind of retroactively apply that to, like, the gluttony people were using Seraph Tech to strip mine the planet and everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, we can go backwards with it too. On this one, I think we find out kind of the source of it is that the planet is mostly covered in, like, autonomous Seraph Tech that will fucking murder anything alive.
Okay.
So Beatrice shows up. So
in order
up,
to get to, you know, the Satan hole that will get you to, you know, wherever.
And I think what we find, what the Satan is at the middle of it, is really like a Seraph Tech AI core that is controlling all of the stuff.
So my thought is, what if it is a fallen angel?
Like an actual Seraph?
Like an actual Seraph that has fallen. And this is their prison.
That would explain why it would lead to a greater prison on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so they get there, they get to this thing, and it's just this, like, trapped Seraph, actual Seraph.
Yeah.
And then
all the guards.
And then the guards show up. Maybe, I see, there's a part of me that wants to, like, flip it on its head and be like, well, was Satan really the bad guy? But, like...
Well, that's true. I think we
can talk about Paradise Lost later.
And I still think that's something that can be explored, because I don't think by having this version of the fallen Seraph imprisoned, again, we've gone through this entire movie to have Dante not condemn the people that they've been interacting with. Maybe they don't condemn Satan either.
Yeah, because like, they're, you know, the one and the other interpretation, not the other, I'm sure there's plenty of interpretations of Satan, but one of them is that, like, he was just mad that, like, God was like, I'm going to treat you unfairly on purpose, but I will not do that to these. And he's like, we just want to be treated equally. And he's like, well, I'm going to have to send you all to hell then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe this fallen Seraph is one that fell from grace, or, you know, maybe that's the core planet in the Paradiso Nebula.
There you go.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, so let's put a pin in that.
It fell, and it landed here. It landed on Morningstar.
Good, Jake.
Thank you.
Oh, please, my don't actually God. No, like, it's just... That's I'm very not good. Shocked. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll you know, we'll come back to this eventually, and we'll do the other two movies.
Yes.
But all of the guards, all the other Seraph Tech here is literally designed to keep Satan here, to keep Lucifer or Lucy or whatever the fuck we end up naming it, right?
Yeah.
Just to keep that here because, like, it is the one that has the core idea of
freedom or something, or
yeah,
rebellion for freedom.
Like, rebellion for freedom, but also, like the way things are aren't the way things have to be. Like, that's, like, the core of what it is, and that's kind of what Dante has been doing this whole time, is like just because things are this way, like, you don't have to be this way, I can't do anything about it, but it doesn't mean I can't, like, voice the the idea, and like maybe that is also kind of what Satan did, and then so now, you know, he's trapped here. Dante and Virgil made their way here, and they're like, well, I can get you out of here, but the only place I can send you is a prison. The only portal I still have open is to Purgatorio, the prison planet. But if you can get through that, then you can get to
paradise.
You know, paradise.
I think, and Beatrice, like, has to have gotten pulled through to there, or taken by Seraph Tech to there.
Maybe he meets up with Beatrice, and then she gets taken.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like before, like during the movie. Not like beforehand. So he has a reason to go there, even though he knows like maybe it's not going to be great there.
I have an idea.
Yes.
Okay.
The whole thing's about treachery. What if Beatrice isn't real?
Oh.
And Beatrice leads Dante to Satan, and then turns out she was a hologram or something and vanishes, and Satan's like, it was the only way I could get you here. So like,
so we pull
because I can't leave. I couldn't send anything to retrieve you once you sat down on this planet without, because I also see like Seraphs have wings and his are all chained up and like
he's physically
bound. But it's like, if you do want to see her alive, this is how you do it.
So then what happens to her?
She's already in either in Purgatorio or made her way to paradise.
Huh. I think she's got to be in Purgatorio.
Yeah, or at I least think she's in where, Purgatory.
Or at least that's where we're told in Inferno.
I like the idea, but I feel like if we want to set up, because by the time you meet Satan, like you have learned that, like, hey, maybe not all Seraph Tech is like
good.
Like maybe she's being controlled by Seraph Tech, and that's part of treachery.
Nah, she's a person. I like her. I don't think people can be controlled by it.
Yeah, if she's taken, and like we see her like yanked through into this Satan chamber, and then we get in there and she's not there. Where'd she go? Well, I can open a portal to where she went, and I can send you through. But you're not gonna like it.
I think I don't want to get that. I want to kind of dumb it down for a blockbuster, you know. I just want her to get taken away straight to paradise.
Okay.
And then the next movie is him getting through Purgatorio to get to paradise, and the last movie is him going through paradise to save his sister.
Okay.
Because like I don't, if she's a hologram, then like what happened to the real her? If Satan's like, oh, she went to paradise and here's how you go there, why would you trust him at this point? He literally spent the entire planet lying to you.
Because like, I don't think you have any other choice. And that's kind of why I want, because the whole thing, this planet, this part, is about treachery. And part of it is also about trust.
But it's about treachery from a certain point of view.
Right.
It's not Satan. Satan was treacherous to the Seraph Empire or whatever, not necessarily to every, he's not like a treacherous person.
Okay.
And I don't think we can set up like Satan being a fallen angel and him still being evil, you know?
Right.
So that's why I like it. Just like, I like, just dumb it down. Like if we're like, we're trying to get a little too complicated, we're too far into this episode to bring up any more big ideas. This is already a big boy. We should probably think about wrapping it up.
Yep. Yeah. I think we're there, and we'll definitely have to come back for Purgatory and Paradise down the road. But, hey, guys, somehow we did it. Somehow we made a thing out of this.
Yeah. Hey, look, pretty good, I think.
Yeah. So do we need to name it something else, or can we just name it Inferno?
I mean, Inferno Nebula is not a good name for a movie, right?
I like, if it's called Inferno, that it's part one of the Divinity Trilogy.
Yeah.
That could work.
It wouldn't necessarily be like a Hunger Games situation where it's like, you know, Hunger Games part two.
Yeah.
You know, Catching Fire. it's the second part of the Hunger Games. It would just be like Inferno, one of three, yeah. And then, you know, Purgatorio, two of three, and then,
mm-hmm.
I like et cetera. That. Yeah,
yeah, of the Divinity trilogy.
All right.
Which seems like us, you know, getting a little big for our britches, but also the, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah,
given the source material.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we're going to get ready to roll for next month, which is going to be Jake's.
Yeah. Jake's month. I hope I steal the one that Matt really wants to do.
That was Count of Monte Cristo, and that would only be fair at this point. But while Alan's pulling up his random number generator, we have a new patron.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yay.
Their name is Jams W.
Oh, Dip. I have seen Jams around the internet a ton.
Thank you, Jams.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Jams is now part of our one of our tiers of specially inducted people in our Discord.
Thank
hell.
You for paying for this indulgence.
I think we're just going to rename them indulgences on the Patreon.
Indulgence purchasers. I feel like that might be stepping on Apocry Pals brand.
Yeah, they don't have
a
Patreon, but I feel like theirs would get very fun with that stuff. So we'll leave that for them if they want it.
Chris, if you're listening, you can have that one. So thank you so much, Jams. And if you would like some access to some special content, especially our Roud series that I still haven't released the first episode of, but it'll be happening soon. I've had a month. That'll be going
up
soon.
We're all having a time. Having a time in our lives.
2019 has not decided to slow down compared to 18 or 17. But that'll be going up soon for everybody to listen to the first one. If you like it and want more, jump on our Patreon, and we'll get more of that going for you.
Yeah.
Alan, what's that number?
19.
Ooh, okay. You missed mine by 2, Jake, but you get
beans.
Rapunzel.
Ooh, okay. Rapunzel. Well, there has been recently a very good movie about her. So
true.
We're not doing another movie. Just trying to think of a good medium. I just thought of a really dumb good medium for maybe my next thing that I'm going to throw out there, but I don't think it'll work for this. So, I don't know.
Remember,
this is tricky.
Remember, you can also just give us the genre and go back to that if you want.
I don't want to. We've been doing so well. We've been on such a tear. I don't want to step on our own toes. All right, I'm going to say Rapunzel is going to be a video game.
Okay.
We'll figure. I literally have zero ideas. I have a month to figure it out. But we're going to go design another Vigi game.
Nice.
We didn't do that just recently, right?
No. The last time we did it was East of the Sun, West of the Moon.
Yeah.
That was like 4 ago. Okay, I think we're good. All right.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, video game.
Cool. All right. Well, in that case, look forward to Rapunzel next month. And until then, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
Bye.
Bye.
And you've been rebooted.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us at hardreboot@fitzdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.